Welcome back, everyone, to episode 169 of the Lookout Podcast. I'm, of course, Meals. I'm here with LJ. What is up, LJ? How we feeling?
Good. I'm feeling good. You are back. Another week of alchemy.
Right. Look at us.
Look at us.
Alchemizing. You know what I'm saying?
Who would have thought?
You know why? I'm low-key kind of sour today because today has been the best New York weather that we've had in months. And I was like,
global warming scares me. It really does. And like our winter here has been, I'm talking about, like, it is so beautiful right now for us. And it has been for like the past like 2 weeks. Like this was like the warmest February probably ever. We had 60s.
That's nuts.
Like it's scary. My dad, my biological dad that lives out there, he was talking to me on the phone and I was telling him like, yeah, the weather is really nice here. He's like, man, you gotta enjoy it. I was just like, man, but what about the crops? Like my mind can't enjoy it because I understand the implications of this stuff. It's really
what depressing. About the crops is crazy. I've never had to worry about that ever in my life.
Man, listen.
What about the crops is right. You know what? Fair.
What about the crops? I was just like, oh, I'm so sick right now.
What about the crops? You know what? That's something that I never even consider because I live in New York and it's like the crops are en route. It's not like they're grown here unless they're grown in New York State or some shit like that, right. Which I don't think they are. But yeah, what about the crops? You know? Fuck. Like, what about them?
He was like, you can't even allow yourself to enjoy. See, I think what really messed me up is that I have grown close to a few farmers. I've been to their farms and whatnot. And so, like,
farms, wow.
Yeah, I know. We have farms here. And, like, they're not far out the city. Probably, like,
that's crazy. Like, I've never been to a farm in my life. Actually, I'm lying.
Never been to a farm?
There's like local, but it's not like, I'm assuming y'all got like big ass fucking farms.
Oh yeah, we got like farms.
Yeah. We got like local community farms, grown some shit, you know, trying to get back to Mother Earth kind of vibe type of shit, you know, but we don't have like big fucking farms, no.
No, yeah, we had like, I mean, cropping here is really big business, especially like beef, like cows, milk, dairy farming. Those are really big here. So I've been to like plenty of dairy farms. So there's a lot of cheese that's produced here. And obviously Wisconsin. When I was doing my butcher apprenticeship, I like part of my job was to like go to the farms that we worked with. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of like get a real understanding of process of like where our animals coming from and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of cattle farms, pig farms, chicken farms. I met a lot of the people that we get from there. And then obviously I just have friends whose family just own farms, so they just have just this big plot of land and they grow so much stuff there. And like obviously there was, you know, farmer markets are huge here, so I would always go there and like build connections with people through there. So yes, farming is a huge thing. And so like when things like this happen, I'm like, God, like a part of me really wants to enjoy it. But then another part of me is like, once again, understanding the implications of.
What about 60, the crops?
Yeah. What about the crops? Like what the fuck was 60 degrees in February, knowing that we're going to get a cold front in, I don't know, maybe a week or so, because it's Minnesota. Like there's no way we're going, you know, this is going to sustain. And so, like, what happens when that cold front comes? And then we get another, like, all that type of stuff that fucks with all the growing and things like that. So, yes, what about the crops?
Well, listen.
That's my tangent for the day.
Yeah, a little food for thought. You know what I'm saying? Like, what about the crops? When you're out there enjoying, while we're out here trying to enjoy things on the beachfront, everyone going to City Island, everyone enjoying themselves. Think about the crops. You know what I'm saying?
Think about the crops.
Think about the crops and the farms. Yeah, fuck, man. I didn't even think of that. It's an incredibly beautiful day, but we're inside a recording podcast today. So that's just how it is. But the thing is that we've had like days that like are over. So the best thing is like we're getting like 50s now. So we've had days like over 50s, but they've all been like rainy ass days. So it's not, we have, this is the day to like actually enjoy it. I went out to run this morning, not a successful run, but
you know. Are you back on your usual?
I'm on working out. So I worked out 4 days last week because I'm unemployed. Don't clap. I'm unemployed. the only way I could have done it is because I'm unemployed. And I have no responsibilities to anyone. So worked out 4 days this week.
Can you become a fitness influencer? Come here, like a fitness animator.
No. Give me some time. Let me get my body right, and then I'll influence the hell out of shit for sure.
But people like seeing the journey stuff, though. That's like,
yeah. But I gotta make sure that the journey is going in an actual, like, there's actual progression and stuff like that, because the way my body works is just completely different than, like, I can gain weight I gain weight too easily, and it's a bitch for me to lose weight. Like, it's like, you don't understand, when I lost 40 pounds a couple years ago, it took everything for me. I was doing two-a-days. I was running. I was biking. I was lifting. I was thinging. I was doing everything possible to lose that weight. I was drinking shit. I was not eating shit. I was like, I gave up carbs that entire time. Like, I just wouldn't eat a ton of carbs throughout the day. And it was a bitch to lose all that weight. But I did lose all the weight. Once it started going, it just didn't stop. But then eventually I hit my plateau, and that's when I kind of like gained it and then some. So I just got to make sure that I find the process to like get me going in one direction. And once I can do that, I can figure this shit out.
We all about health and wealth over here, though.
Aren't we on the eve of we're getting close to the 6 year anniversary of this podcast. Is it 7? No, it's 6. It's 6. Just lost to time. Definitely got to figure out health, wealth, and stuff like that. You haven't been on TikTok. I think I'm going to talk to Justin about this on the A Show too, but I'll preview the conversation here. TikTok has been promoting heavy for me these stomach pills to like clear out your digestion shit.
Oh, have you ever been seeing the mud water ones?
No.
You've never seen the mud water ones?
No.
That's big on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Okay, no. I've been trying to be sold, like, get these pills. 15-day cleanse is what really it is. And you take these pills, you shit a lot, but you get all the shit out of your intestines and stomach and all this other stuff like that. And I'm like, do I want to do this? I mean, I got time. I ain't got nowhere to be.
Please don't do that, please.
Why not? You can clear out your system.
Just up your fiber, get some probiotics. Your stomach can be cleared out in no time.
I'll just get fiber pills, I guess.
Yeah, get the fiber pills. One Martinelli's a day keeps you
clear, me regular. Man. Okay,
yeah, it keeps you regular.
Hey man, listen, I need to be a little regular. You know what I'm saying?
One Martinelli's a day keeps the constipation away.
I'm trying to be very familiar. You know what I'm saying with how regular I am.
I feel horrible having this conversation because I just had a conversation with my kid about how, like, fart and poop jokes are not appropriate and how can't be, like, screaming those out in public.
No, but they aren't. So,
I'm over here. Really
it's not they. We're talking about fiber and we're talking about probiotics. We're talking about old people shit, man. You can't be talking about poop jokes and fart jokes, especially as a little girl out in public. It's not very becoming.
She's in that stage where like farts are the funniest thing in the world to her.
Well, it's about to be quiet for that once she gets a little bit older. Can't wait for you to deal with a teenager. It's gonna be so funny. I deal with a teenager and it's very funny.
Your teenager is cool though.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess I'll say your teenager is cool because I don't have to deal with them every day like you do.
Right. I gotta yell at a bunch of things and go about and tell her things, and just my opinion isn't valued because she wants to do whatever her own thing, and then it ends up being right, and then I end up being right, and then that's kind of like how it goes. But after a while, I'm just like, really? Whatever. But it's all part of the process. Trust me, it's all part of the process. As we're learning things here, I don't have much anime news. The only anime news really is that pretty much Jujutsu Kaisen damn near swept the anime awards. So that was a thing. Won 9 awards.
Every year it's like there's really one anime that really takes over the whole year. And as much as people want to make it seem that there's a competition, like, oh no, like this thing has a chance or that thing has a chance, there's always one very clear-cut winner. It was MHA a couple years ago. It's JJK now.
Do you think we'll ever see the fall off of JJK's popularity? Do you think? Because I feel like people are very, like, it's interesting because people love it, but I also feel like people begin to turn on things just in general.
They usually turn on things around season 4 of something.
Yeah, I think they begin to turn on stuff. People already turned on Demon Slayer. People have already turned on Attack on Titan. People have already turned on, I mean, My Hero, they've turned on it. I don't think people have turned on, they probably turned on One Piece and came back around, I would probably say, considering how lengthy it is. But
I think JJK might get out the game at just the right time. Because I think people are slightly turning on the manga.
It's got a lot going on.
It has a lot going on. And I just don't know. Next season is a big season for them. If people do not bite the bait quick enough for the Cullen Games and the things that kind of happen right after Shibuya, the turn is gonna come. But if they're able to bite, if they get able to get people to bite the bait early, they'll be okay at least for one more year.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting to see if the audience continues to maintain throughout the Cullen Games, because that's essentially what happened to MHA, right? Like, it had this big gap in things that were actually, like, important. And not to say Cullen Games isn't important, but I think it's really just battles and there's very little plot advancement that is, like, massive. But then you get to the part where, you know, spoilers, this big fight happens pretty much near the end of it. That is, like, pretty much the peak of everything. We talked about it on the year-end show last year. But it's this big fight that happens, but will people even still be around for that fight? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're reaching... Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I think that... I think this upcoming season is another big season for MHA. I think this is...
Absolutely. I don't think it is. I think people whoever's watching now is just watching. I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be do exactly what it does every... At this point in the last... Yeah, I don't think people are care to tune in, really, until maybe it's done.
I feel that they really want to finish strong, at least, and, you know, have a good showing. I think that the past two seasons were... What do you say? Like, last season was a good...
Last season was good. I don't know what the fuck people were talking about. It didn't even...
Yeah, last season was good. And it was a good trend up for them. No, last season was a good and was a good trend up for them. I think some of the hate they got on that one was really unnecessary. That's just kind of people... That's really just more people are, like, doubling down on it. Like, you know, like, oh, damn, I jumped on the MHA hate train. So, like, I gotta stay on now. So they're just gonna hate for whatever reason. The season before, obviously, people were a little shaky about that. So yeah, I think that they just more so want to, like I said, end strong, continue to trend up. I think that the people who are along for a ride are stuck on the ride, like, they're gonna show up no matter what. And the people, I mean, there's the teeters. I think that's what the thing is. It's that middle ground of people who really are like, I don't know. I think if they can get them to turn back on the good side, they'll be okay. But anybody that hates on MHA now, like, they're on, like I said, they're on that train for good. They've bought into the bit too much.
I agree. What are your thoughts on Megan Thee Stallion, who was at the Anime Awards, pretty much heralded, pretty much, you know, almost universally beloved? There's some, like, incels who probably don't like her, but yeah, pretty much universally beloved. What do you think about her proximity to the anime community?
I think it's great for the anime community in terms of, I think she really has a pocket there, and she's a figure, you know, continues to figure out a way to, like, big that up and continue to be kind of a driving force in that area.
Right.
There's a lot of things that could be done. I think she's just people love Megan Thee Stallion. Like, regardless if you really like her music or whatnot, people love Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
And I think, once again, I think that this is a great pocket for her. I feel that her getting into it is going to allow other rappers and other personalities that are, like, really into this to you know, get more involved. But the thing with Megan, though, is that, like, she's a real, like anime head. Like, she'll do the cosplay shit. She'll do the, like, you know, so
I think it's homage.
So I think, like, for her, though, it's like she has a real true fandom to it, and I think that even just makes it more enjoyable, because, like, everyone knows, like, she'll pull out some deep cut shit and you'll be like, damn, like,
yeah,
B-side on something, you know. And so I don't know, I think it's just really cool what she's doing. Like I said, I think that the more she does it, the more it'll open doors for other personalities and other celebrities, other artists to go continue to do things like that, which would just be really cool. And once again, it's just a win-win for fans, and not just, like, for Black fans, Brown fans, you know, just see that, like,
right,
it's cool, you know, it's cool to see someone that looks like us on stage at this, you know, award show, you know, presenting and actually being, like, just a big attraction to it.
Right. I can't, I wish I could talk more about the McDonald's thing, but maybe we do in, like, 2 months. But when
McDonald's too, and they had it all, the thing,
the McDonald's thing, like, I'll talk more about, like, my job. We got that thing. We got it, like, sometime last year, about to be pitched for this thing, to be part of, like, the content that's created for that stuff. We didn't get selected, but I'll definitely go through, like, once this 2 months is up, I'll go through my, like, selection process on, like, how the ideas we ideated for it. But also the McDonald's thing, it's very cool ode to anime. I don't think a lot of people understand it, but it feels
definitely, now that's a super cut.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I feel like it's, again, McDonald's is kind of like when anime continues to, like, their rise continues throughout the years, I think they'll be credited as, like, someone who was, like, forward on it. But it's a super deep cut. I'll talk about it later. But that's cool to see. I haven't tried out the McDonald's thing yet. Maybe I'll try it out today. Who knows? But it's great to see. It's great to see anime in these communities. One Piece just had this collaboration with Puma just recently. That's kind of dope.
Man, it's good. It's the Asics. You see the Naruto Asics ones?
Naruto Asics as well, yeah. Listen, I love this is what I've always tried to, like, I try to pitch for my job, because it's, like, a lot of nerd culture stuff, and, like, this is something that we can tap into, and I'm going to continue to be a major proponent for it, because I feel like, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't know, and it is it's a big rising form of content, nerd culture just in general. When you think about superhero movies, when you think about comic books, when you think about anime, all these are, like, growing genres, especially superhero movies, where they end up being by default the biggest in box office for the year. So if we can do our part with continuing to pitch and continue to put nerd things in these places, and people continuing to accept anime as a form of media, as opposed to it just being, like, this very, like, nerd internet weird thing, I think we can continue to make, like, we can continue to do great things, especially with this podcast. You know what I'm saying? So more nerd shit. I'm always a fan of it. Shout out to McDonald's. Shout out to Megan Thee Stallion. Shout out to Asics. Shout out to Puma. Shout out to everyone supporting anime. Let's support this anime. Actually, I got a question for you before we head into this It's Full Metal Alchemist related, but I got a question for you that I brought up on Twitter, and I was trying to, like, kind of, like, figure out where it is. So we're going over Full Metal Alchemist. Mm-hmm. It is widely known as the GOAT. I'm still on the train that Attack on Titan is the GOAT. But we're just about halfway through this series. And I would love to compare where we're at in this show to where halfway in the series of Attack on Titan is, and kind of like just get a temperature of like which one feels better up to this point. Because we learned
the halfway point for exactly.
I literally calculated it. I was calculating it as we were doing it. So the halfway point, not the halfway point for Attack on Titan. Actually, let me do the official halfway point for Attack on Titan, which would be actually episode 48.
Shit, that's damn near season one, too. I
mean, no, it's season three. Relax. Season two is very short.
God, season one was like, what, 27 episodes?
Yeah. So we are halfway. The halfway point is for Attack on Titan is a Historia kind of like series, the arc, where pretty much they're still, it's the first part of season three before they have the big battle. It's kind of like learning much more about Historia's life and kind of like figuring out a bunch of things about Titans. Let me see. What's this episode specifically? It says, by standard, they don't have a summary. 2 months have passed since Historia's coronation. Oh, Historia's finally queen. Okay.
This is the moment where they touch? No.
No, it's not. We're not there. That's the end of season three. He was with Grisha when Malenoria fell. So we're learning things. So we're essentially, we go through, it's the part after he kills the, he goes into the ice cave shit and kills all the ice cave people. And
oh, and that's when Kenny, right?
Yeah. The Kenny Ackerman
tries to kill Levi and
yeah. So damn, comparing
that was the end of season two.
No. That's the first arc of season three.
So we're past that.
We're right after that. Yes, right after that.
So first part of season three, we do all that. They in the ice cave. Kenny and Levi battle it out in the ice cave.
Right. Yeah. We ended that. So we're here now. Comparing that to where we're at on this anime, I would say, obviously the pace for Full Metal Alchemist is moving much quicker than Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan actually took its sweet time with a lot of stuff. I'm trying to figure out. So the big moments of Attack on Titan thus far would be the reveal that, hey, we are Titans. Eren, come with us. I'm the beast, you know, I'm the armored Titan, and this guy's a colossal Titan, and actually you should come with us. So that part happens here. And I think we get a lot of reveals in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood too. I think the biggest peak moment thus far is Mustang killing Lust, yeah. I would say. So I'm trying to figure out the highs, lows. Which one do you feel like feels better at this moment? If you had to say, like, who's winning the race currently at the better anime as we're at the 50% point of this stuff?
I'm trying to think.
It's been a while since AOT, I know.
Yes, it has been a while since AOT, and I don't want to be biased. I want to give an honest opinion on this, like, because it will be very easy for me to be like, oh, Full Metal, this is my favorite.
How about this? When did Attack on Titan start to, like, really hit for you?
Oh, it's season three. That's the thing. Like, yeah. I tell you this all the time about how season three of Attack on Titan is one of the best seasons of anime ever. Like
that. So the first two seasons, you're not really wild. You're not really like taking them.
The first two seasons are like cool. It's really the end of season two that like it really kind of goes, oh shit, like
right. And so when do you lock in on Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood? Almost immediately.
Really, after Hughes dies.
Mm.
Really, mm. After Hughes dies, you're kind of like, oh shit.
Like, absolutely. Oh, all right. Like,
you know, you're like, okay, like, he's dying over this. Like, whoa, he done learned too much too quick. You know, one of those type of things. So you really get locked in there. But I think that I feel that Full Metal Alchemist is more consistent throughout in terms of
I could
climax level. Mm-hmm. But I feel that AOT
I feel like it's
when they hit their peak, they hit a crazy
right. I feel like their peaks are higher in AOT at this point, but Full Metal Alchemist
I don't feel that they're as consistent though,
right?
Full Metal,
you know what? That's a great point. I love that point actually, because I think that's the perfect way to kind of describe it.
And I think that's what makes it this conversation hard, because those, like I'm telling you, like that ending of season two, going in the Kenny's, going to that ice, like that shit is so crazy. Where you're kind of just like, you're so tuned in and you're so like on the edge of your seat, like holy shit, like who are, like the introduction of Kenny alone during mm-hmm. that first part of season three, you're like, okay, this is such a great pivot from the Titan shit, but also right. how it still ties into all the Titan shit,
right?
And like how that all happened. So I guess it just really depends on how you feel about it, but I'll say that I'll give God, because this last, I mean, these last few episodes, like I said,
these episodes are pretty good. These episodes are pretty
20
good.
20 to 26 is just like crazy as hell.
You wasn't a fan of the recap episode?
Huh?
You wasn't a fan of the recap episode?
Oh, no.
That's episode 27. I'll tell you about it. We'll talk about it when we talk about it. You know what? Let's hold the question for the end. How about that? We'll hold the question for the end.
I mean, Holden Heim's life story was cool, but Alec told it was. It felt like filler. It's another one of those like filler but canon series. Like,
we'll talk about it. Let's get into the series. Let's get into everything. So we last caught up everything that's happened in the last episode. Lust is dead. And the other homunculi are not happy because Wrath just let Roy Mustang get away. But they're like, yo, he's part of the plan. And I still, one of the questions I have kind of like coming out of this is just like, there are these people that are designated to be part of the plan. And the thing is, Miles, I also watched this once and don't remember a lot of the details for it. But I'm so confused about like these people who are part of the plan. Why are they part of the plan? Why are these people like maybe candidates to be part of the plan, and why does everyone else expendable? I think that's really a question hasn't been answered yet.
I think it has to do a lot with like how much they know in terms of like knowledge of alchemy, the Philosopher's Stone, their abilities as an alchemist. Because you got to think of all the people that have been considered like candidates.
Ed,
they're all high level alchemists.
Marco. Yeah, Marco
knows a lot about the philosophy. No, he pretty much he led the research on what a philosopher's stone is and how they make it and all that.
Agree. But you know, it's something like I got to know the distinction, the hard distinction. But
it's like it's like in the NBA, like you know, there's a difference between a superstar and a guy who's good.
I guess. Here we are. Your man Gene Havoc is not dead, but he's out.
He's not. Shout out to Gene.
He's out of the game.
He's done. He's cooked.
This might be the most realistic, in my opinion, might be the most realistic fate for any anime character that's ever existed. Because niggas just don't get paralyzed no more. No offense. But it's like people get holes through their chest, holes through their back, all types of other stuff like that. And naturally, anything that demolishes your spine should leave you paralyzed. But most people live from it, especially in Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer, they'll have
broken fingers, broken arms.
Out of place.
Yeah, but you just total concentration breathing your ass out of that. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, listen, this is my last rodeo. I can't believe you dragged me on to this and I got paralyzed by my girlfriend.
All this let us... He got stabbed by his girlfriend and let us know that Lust is Puerto Rican.
I love that. That's funny as fuck. So he's out of the game. But listen, now they have... We got a lot of things going on, but their main purpose now, this section I call it, is Operation Learn Much More About the Homunculus Immortality. Because we still not really fully, as we enter these episodes 21 through 30, we still not really sure, like, these homunculi, who are they, where do they come from, why are they there, all this other stuff like that. Like, I mean, part of us we know, but they don't really know. So they're trying to like figure a lot more out of it. And Ed has a plan. And I don't like when Ed has a plan, because to be honest with you, he's not smart enough to be coming up with plans, to be honest with you.
He's a, yeah, he got the Megumi mindset. Scratch yeah. out, baby.
Ed has a plan. He's like, we're gonna draw out these homunculus, and we're gonna find out more about them by learning out Scar. It's a plan that eventually does work, but it's an incredibly reckless plan and leaves people, you know, of course, kidnapped, stolen, killed, various people. But nonetheless, I mean, they do the damn thing. Scar shows up. The homunculus shows up. Everyone's there. Ling and Lanfan take on Gluttony and Wrath.
What a crazy plan. Like, hey, let's set us up for bait with one enemy to attract all of our enemies.
Right. And
it's one concentrated area.
And Ling and Lanfan are just kind of have to like deal with it, like roll with the punches and stuff. They go up against Gluttony and Wrath, and they hold up pretty well until Lanfan gets injured. Ling tries to stay in Wrath's blind spot until he reveals he has the ultimate eye. Shout out to the eye. A tattoo on your eyelid must Bradley be insane.
Bradley is a... What a character. What a guy. He's a funny villain for the simple fact of, like,
I'm not, how? I don't have, like, a temperature on him yet, if it makes sense. Like, I don't hate him. I don't think he's that despicable. He also doesn't really, like... I don't really fear... I know he's strong, but I don't fear him enough because he's out on these missions with these regular-ass niggas just doing regular-ass... He's too prominent. He's
too overpowered.
It's not even that. He's too prominent in this series thus far. Like, he's everywhere. Like,
that's what I love about him. He's like the Grim Reaper. He's just popping up out of fucking corners.
But even the Grim Reaper will, like... He's
the Grim Reaper with no incognito skills.
Like, he's the Grim Reaper with nothing else on his calendar. I'm like, you run a whole country. How is it possible you're here following these niggas all the time?
He's not being discreet. There we go. He's not being a discreet at
no,
all.
No, not at all. Not at all. So they...
I think that's why I love him so much, though, is because there is... Once again, there's no, like... There's no finesse with him. He's just like kicking in the door. It's like King Bradley is here.
But it's like, also
every moment.
I don't know. I don't really fear him yet. It takes some time.
But also like, these series of episodes show why he is like that, because there is a real villain behind everything.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, he's not the main villain. Doing that. But he's the Fuhrer. Anyone who's called the Fuhrer should, to be honest with you, start setting fear in niggas. Because the Fuhrer is very, like...
It's like he's for real.
I don't think that would plot out well today if this was animated in 2024. I don't think anyone's being called the Fuhrer. Just by...
He's the... Fuhrer Bradley is Pharrell and father is Chad.
No. All right. Stop.
There's a prominent face here, but there's really someone behind the scenes.
Okay. That's wild. But sure.
That one.
Yeah, man. Fuhrell? Come on. Fuhrell? Fuhrell? Fuhrell is crazy.
Can we please? I don't care. Can the cover be some type of King Bradley for real?
Fiorel? Maybe. We'll see what happens, man. Lanfan eventually takes her own arm and attaches it to a dog so they're able to escape and get Wrath off their track.
You
and
know, I'm like, no one just makes that type of decision unless you know that auto mail is just available for you.
That's very, very true. But also, this is why I don't think like King Bradley's that thing, because he got tricked by it. Like, I feel like, one, maybe I'm too like into... I feel like if your shit is on your eye, I feel like you should be able to see these things that are coming. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you should be a little bit more omnipresent in this situation, and he's clearly not. We got Ed and Al versus Scar, and that doesn't really do anything but reveal to Winry that Scar was the one who killed her parents in the line of war. And we get this backstory about Scar. We get Scar's backstory, which is cool. I like the little sprinkle in a little backstory every now and then. Sometimes these animes don't sprinkle enough backstory until niggas is like on their deathbed coughing up blood.
Like, yeah, they do a really good job with that, with everybody's backstory, really. Even like with, I mean, and now are obviously the main ones, but
we got Scar, I think we get Mustang, we get Bradley, we get a couple people.
Yeah, Mustang, Bradley, we even get some of Winry.
Yeah.
Scar. There's one more.
This is what I wish JJK would do, but apparently I'm an asshole for thinking that.
I feel that JJK, if they stole some of these elements, it would make the story much more, it feel more complete and feel more easily digestible than it is now. It's one of those things where there's so much shit going on.
And like, we don't know the backstory for anybody, really.
Yeah, you know, like,
to be honest with you.
But we don't know the backstory of so many people, but their backstory is so damn important to the story because of like certain relationships and certain things, you know, certain connections. And you're kind of just like, okay, I know that this relationship or something is important, but like, why is it important?
Right. So, we get the history of how Scar came to hate the Amestrians and the state MPs. We get a bigger backstory. Like, we get they introduce this backstory, but they introduce the stuff that led up to it, but then we find out the stuff that led up to it later down the line. But Scar was trying to get everyone to flee his country because the Amestrians are showing up and the state MPs are showing up and they're killing niggas. And Scar's brother says his research will save Ishval and defeat the state alchemists. And says Scar can only see that this research is going to be used for revenge and slaughter, the irony, and fought against the soldiers before reuniting with his family. Scar's brothers give him the research notes just in case something were to happen to him, knowing that Scar has a better chance of surviving due to his training as a warrior monk. That was when the alchemist Sof J. Kimley, if anyone's the Fuhrer, it's this guy, attacked and killed almost everyone, leaving Scar as the only survivor, only Ishvil survivor due to his brother, and giving him his right arm through alchemy to replace his severed arm so he could live. When they wake up, all he sees is the two Amestrians trying to save his life, and he's like, you know, get with God, niggas, and kills them both. And Renri's like, damn, you're the one who killed my parents, you asshole. And she picks up the gun and she aims it at Scar. And then Ed convinces her not to shoot and says, your hands are meant to give life, not take them. And, you know, it's a very beautiful moment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
listen, told her some real player shit in the moment.
A little bit. You, that's what we got to use in real life, right? Like, your hands are meant to give life. Not take them, you know, use that in an argument. Yeah.
You can't be doing that.
You can't be doing that.
The Koofy on super tight during that moment. I feel it.
The battle shifts with Scar when Gluttony shows up and begins taking niggas out. And as he's getting the best of him, Ling emerges from the sewer and throws a bomb inside of Gluttony's mouth, blowing off his head, but he regenerates. So they transmute a railroad track into a steel wire.
Let's give much love to Ling.
Listen, Ling is coming in. He's coming in hot.
Listen, Ling got off like the line at 130 million miles per hour. Like, he just started going crazy, didn't he?
I mean, he the prince. He's the 15th prince? Something.
My son held his own against hold himself or held fresh his own prince. Against Bradley. You know, he came in with the fight Gluttony.
He's doing work. He's putting it in work. He's becoming a strong part of this cast. The MPs show up and ready to take Scar, but Mei Chang and Zhao Mi show up, and the girl uses alkahestry to make an escape. Mei Chang, how do we feel about the little girl with the little alkahestry?
There is always a coolness factor of a little kid that's cold in anime.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't matter what anime. If there once there's a little kid that pulls up and that's like you're like, oh shit, like this little kid can really hold its own against adults, you start cheering for that kid.
And she's out here to also, I think, also trying to attain immortality. Definitely Philosopher's Stone. I mean, there's a lot of people going after the Philosopher's Stone at this point.
Hot commodity, man, in the black market.
What
do you think the Philosopher's Stone will go for on StockX?
I feel like a lot, but also Philosopher's Stone on StockX. Shit, man. I would assume a lot. I would assume, listen, if the Philosopher's Stone, you don't even need to really worry about StockX anymore. You could just, you know,
your own shoes?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, bro, you use some alchemy, create some shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't really need that anymore. So I'm assuming it's going for a lot. I assume that's
if I alchemize can't even put some on shoes, StockX. Are they technically reps? We need to get a StockX worker on the phone.
You know what? Fair. I mean, create some shoes, destroy something else. You know what I'm saying? It's all alchemy.
Should we call Rob and see what happened? What?
That'd be crazy.
I would call him. Let me see.
So they all head back to Central, and Winry is requested at Rush Valley because she's got a ton of customers because her auto mail value, you know, is going skyrocket. The boys see her off, and she feels like she's crushing on the kid. She's like, you know what, that Ed, he's short, but that's a king right there. That's a king right there. I know that. He's, you know, Al doesn't realize it because he's got mad shit going on. So we get the big reveal to the group that King Bradley is actually a villain. Who fucking knew, huh?
Yeah, who would have known? The guy that always pulls up and somehow magically appears when all the villains are around.
Right.
Is and with the villains.
And he's a homunculi, nonetheless. And his son is fake, and he's fake, and everything is fake. And they want to extract Gluttony's philosopher. I mean, the group who has kidnapped Gluttony at this point wants to use Gluttony's Philosopher's Stones for their own reasons. But once Gluttony recognizes Mustang, he pretty much digivolves into some big belly weird eye thing. Okay, so then we transition to, you understand this big plan now is a major transmutation circle using the land and the people. This is what we've been speculating. Well, it's been speculation. It's like they want to make this big transmutation circle. Not really sure where it's going to be. We're going to find out literally probably the next time we do these set of episodes, we're going to find out where these transmutation circles are going to be. Because that's one part I do remember. But this is all becoming dangerous. Anyway, Gluttony is on the loose. He's got his stomach is now a mouth. He's got the eye in it. So Al, Ed, and Ling are left behind while Mustang, Knox, and Hawkeye flee from the scene. And Hawkeye offers a 15-year-old a gun to protect himself, which was the first. I was like, wow, what a flag. She's like, take this. Use it if you need to. I'm like, why are you giving him a gun?
Well, my thing is, you're giving him a gun like he doesn't know alchemy.
This is what I'm sure. He could probably come up with his own gun, sister.
He probably come up with like a bigger gun than this, too.
Well, listen.
She gave him like a deuce.
Does fucking Momo in My Hero Academia, is she an alchemist?
Whoa.
See what I did there?
You did.
See what I did
there? She would probably... Yeah, she would survive this world.
She would absolutely. She doesn't have to give up anything to create stuff.
Yeah.
She's chilling.
Well, I don't know. There's a little... she has a stamina thing.
I mean, there's a stamina. I would assume that also is the same thing with alchemy as well. Like, I think it's a physical thing that you can't just abuse over and over and over and over again. But, listen, man, being able to create things from your skin and apparently titties is... It's just part of the game. Oh, man,
another thing about this series. There's no egregious titties.
No, perverse action yet. You know what I'm saying? None.
There's a little bit that gets on that happens later.
I have to check it out. I guess the lust thing is the only, like, and I even think that was a little bit consensual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was a little... you know, I feel that was very tame in comparison to what it could have been.
I agree.
If Oda had to like draw Lust,
this is true. This is true. It would be a different conversation here. Everybody would have giant press. Something along those lines. The best part of this series for the women, they're strong and their breasts aren't the attention of the series thus far.
Yep.
So we got that to worry about. Envy also joins the battle with Glennie at Alan Ling. And while this is all happening, Mustang gets back to the office. He's back at Central. And he meets up Lieutenant General Raven. He's like, "What's up, brother? How you feeling?" He's like, "You know, just trying to be like you. You know what I'm saying?" And he mentions a joke. He's like, "Man, it would be crazy if the Fuhrer was a homunculus, right?" And Lieutenant General Raven was like, "Come with me." So when they walk to the office, and he tells them to tell that joke again in front of all the state military execs and none other than King Bradley himself. And that is when Roy Mustang realizes that Hughes wasn't worrying him about the problem is beneath the state military, is that the problem is the motherfucking state military. The whole game is corrupt. It's all part of the system. Everybody is a crook. How did you feel about this kind of reveal? This is a big reveal that it's actually all this is coming from legitimately the state alchemist.
The source itself.
Yeah.
We're literally watching it unfold in real time. I love how like this moment truly once again.
There's a lot of tension building up to this moment too.
Yeah, very much so. I just love how this moment truly lets us know how high the stakes are. Obviously we've known that there are very high stakes throughout this series, but understanding that it's not just King Bradley acting out on his own or with a few couple core, you know, whatever, it's like, nah, the whole system, the whole higher ups are all in on this.
The whole Eric Adams, everybody is in on this.
Yeah, listen, Mayor Adams definitely going to be in that room.
You know what I'm saying? They called me the homunculus nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this other, my guy. I'm not really a homunculus, but, you know, I'm not going to tell them what to do. You feel me? So yeah, that's my Eric Adams.
The pumpkin nigga is so fucking crazy.
Let's get back to Inside Gluttony. Would you eat a leather boot? I'm not even gonna ask it. I don't even put another option. If your life depended on it, would you eat a leather boot? Because according to the series, a leather boot is edible. Is this correct?
Well, technically, because leather is made from animal hind, so that's why it's an animal product.
Got me there. But they probably use a lot of chemicals and stuff and dyes and shit, probably.
Yeah. There's definitely a process to it that would, you know, the base is an animal product. There's a lot of things added to this.
So you're saying like that. This is like eating like chicken skin kind of vibe.
Essentially. Let's break it down to the simple alchemy level. Yes, that's why it's edible, because it's made from the skin and hind of an animal.
Well, Ling and Ed are in a boot because they're
alchemized the boot. Probably turned into.
Well, they heated up the boot and everything, man.
They did what they had to do.
They threw some adobo on that bitch and figured that shit out.
They made leather boot pepper pot.
You know what I'm saying? A little tough, but when you know. You boil it down, you know, it gets a little soft. Envy also joins them because he also got swallowed by Gluttony, and he does the super villain thing where he reveals and admits to all of his crimes. And we find out another big reveal in this situation, that it was indeed Envy who was responsible for starting the war in Ishval, where he was disguised as a soldier, not just any soldier. He was disguised as the one soldier who was against the war in Ishval. And they show the clip. He literally just pulls up and shoots a kid point blank in the head.
Like, yeah, I know. It was funny because they were like, oh, it was an accidental shooting. I'm like, nothing about this is an accident.
That didn't look accidental at all. He pulled up with the...
He just... Guns in the head.
Yeah, it was like, what if I kill you? You know what I'm saying? Completely kills the girl. It spurs the events that leads to the Ishvalan. I mean, we'll learn a little bit more about it a little later on. They get tight at him. Envy transforms into his true monstrous form. They battle him. It's this big, like, lizard thing with faces on the side. Like, it looks actually kind of
gross. Is another whole big reveal in that moment, figuring out that all the citizens of Xerxes
are just part of him now. I was like, damn, you are really evil, you know? Nonetheless, they battle until Ed realizes that pieces of the ruins of Xerxes are in here. And because he's like, oh, that looks like the upper half of the shit that I saw when I went to that thing that one time. And
yeah, great memory, because like,
I wouldn't have
all the symbols and everything.
I wouldn't have remembered it. I would have. Do you need to take this call?
No, I do not. I don't know why my phone's blowing up right now.
Okay. All right. Just letting you know. If you need to take the call, you could take the call.
No, it's just two different people that just called me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very popular. Let's see.
Like that.
As someone who has their phone on Do Not Disturb all the time, I'm surprised phone calls get to you. You have to bypass. Yes, yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. They're important people. They battle Philosopher's Stone. Oh, yes, they need Envy's Philosopher's Stone to help get him out. And rather than use, so eventually they're like, we don't want to use a circle from Xerxes because these mad people who didn't deserve to die. He was like, I'm going to create a new one. And they eventually do create this new transmutation circle, human transmutation circle. They jump into the eye once again, and they arrive at the stone door at the gates. And there's two doors now. And one of the doors, he sees a very feeble, weak, malnourished looking Alphonse. And he says, damn, I want to reach out to him. But before he can reach out to him, he's like, no, you can't have me. You are not the soul that this party is looking for. And all these little black hands show up and start pulling him out. And he gets in front of the door. And then you see the door open again. And then he's just like, no, I'm going to get you. And I will save you.
Greatest meme ever. Shout out to Rob once again for making that picture into a capper meme for me.
I love it. Shout out to the cappers.
Shout out to the cappers.
So... But I did love that moment for sure. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, so once again, this is the first, this is 121 to 126. All this happens.
Like, 21 to 26. I'm like, not 121.
Yeah, not 120. 20 to 20. Why do I keep saying that?
I don't, because you in Mangaville, man. You're
I
am, crazy.
Manga has ruined me.
A little bit.
I need a support group.
Absolutely. Let's see what we have here. So he sees the body and he's like, I mean, he's happy. He's like, wow, at least his body exists. That's all I care about.
Very malnourished. He was very like malnourished. Saying that one movie where he lost all that weight.
What an insane thing to do. Never could be me. Out on the outside.
Figuring out that 50 Cent's a method actor is the greatest thing in the world.
It's really good. Could potentially end up in, you know, live action Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Hey, who says no? 50 as King as King Bradley, as Furell. You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with that? Back on the outside, Al follows Gluttony because Gluttony is like, I want to take you to my father. So they follow and they find it. You know, the home base for all of this is at Central. And he's like, what? This is crazy. Scar and May also end up there as well. Back in the office, King Bradley lets Mustang know that it is clipped. I literally have that in my notes. It's clipped. He says the homunculus have been in control of Amistris since the beginning, and he reveals that his whole team is getting transferred. He was like, yo, your man's is going north, your man's is going south, your man's is going west, and I'm taking your girl, and she is now my personal assistant. And then he also tells a story about how he became King Bradley, and it feels very, like, Promised Neverlandy. I was the best student in class, and I was the only one, you know, that survived the Philosopher's Stone of Wrath. And because I was able to do it, they gave me the name King Bradley, because you a king, you know what I'm saying? Like T.I., you know what I'm saying? So that's how you became, you get the little, you know, you get a little backstory. You don't really feel sorry for him. I mean, you should, I mean, kids being taken advantage of and being used as some sort of a tool.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Definitely. There's like, sad. But use also
there's a,
like,
there's a hint of sadness in his backstory, but when you hear him talk about it and you see how he acts about it, you're like, oh, like, who gives a fuck? Like, did he
yeah, also, fuck? None of the other characters, I'm assuming the characters also heard this and didn't also didn't really seem that sad about it. So, if they don't care, why should I?
Yeah, no, I'm like, I'm not gonna feel horrible. Because he was, like, even saying, though, he was just like, the most wrathful soul in this is the one that took over my body. And he was like, so I don't know if it's somebody else's or just what my true soul was when, you know, when I was me. But
right.
Essentially, you just, you know, he don't get no down. He's just like, hey, man, this thing happened, and this is why I am the way I am, and this is how I'm rocking. Love it or leave it.
Absolutely. So we get to episode 27, and it's a recap episode. And I'm going to tell, we talked about this prior, but let me just say something. When there's a lot of shit going on, I can appreciate a recap episode. I can appreciate it. And I felt like they did a great way of interpolating the events that happened and giving us a little backstory on Von Hohenheim. You know what I'm saying? And also, I think Father was there too. Father was wilding out a little bit himself. But I appreciated that little backstory. And it gave me the question, if you knew something bad was going to be happening, because clearly this nigga knew everything that was going to happen.
Oh yeah, Hohenheim knew.
Yeah, because he said in the last batch of episodes, he told little Lady Rockbell, he was like, yo, something bad about to happen. I think you should leave. And she's like, oh, I'll stay. Can't be that bad. It was indeed that bad.
It was very much indeed that bad.
But nonetheless, like, we here.
Yeah. No, it was I do agree, is that one. I think sometimes you got to know how to shift gears. And this was a great, once again, a great moment, because 21-26 was that's a lot. 27, we pumped the brakes a little bit. Hey, here's some refresher and also some new info.
Absolutely.
A couple different things happening here. I think you bring up a great question of, like, if you knew something bad was going to happen, like, how would you...
Would you do something about it? Or would you just sit there and just be powerless to the situation? I think that is what is going through the mind of Mr. Van Hohenheim. But I think it was a great thing. We don't really see Hohenheim for the rest of these episodes for a while. But it's great to, like, remember that he's part of this thing. Either way, we get there and we meet none other than Father himself. Big Daddy.
Big Papa. Looks like Hohenheim.
Looks like Hohenheim, which is nuts. I don't know if they're twins. I don't know if they're related. I forget if he just steals his face. I forget what is going on. But I'm sure I'll find out later.
It reminds me of, you ever seen Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
I haven't seen Ace Ventura in like 25 years.
Hohenheim and Father just remind you, Finkel is Einhorn, and Einhorn is Finkel.
That's funny. So they reach Father. And at the same time, they reach Father and he sees Al and thing. Ed, Ling, and Envy jump out of Gluttony in a very violent way. And Father's looking at them. He's like, oh, you're the Elric kids. That's crazy. Let me fix your armor. Let me fix your arm. Let me fix your ribs. Let me do all that. And they're like, what the fuck is going on here? He did not have to give up anything to do all this other stuff. He is on a next level. But Ling is like, he ain't healing me. And I don't trust him at all. I don't. And Ling tries to get at Father, but Father's like, we don't like your type over here. I felt like it was a little...
There's definitely some undertones.
It was a little undertones, because only the the Asians and the brown guy are the one who are targeted by this guy.
It's very xenophobic, bro.
I'm not loaded it. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I see it. I see it all. But
he's like, I don't like no communists, and I don't like no Muslims. I ain't banging with them.
Eventually, he was like, let's turn Ling into a homunculus. Let's get this Ling out of here. And Ling is like, yes, this is what fucking I've been waiting. Philosopher's Stone. Give me this shit. Very Majin Vegeta. He's like, I'm willing to take Philosopher's Stone. Don't
fight. It is very Majin Vegeta, because for the simple fact that this next form of Ling is better than the original form of Ling.
I agree. But also,
Greedling is a cold piece.
Greedling is cool. Greedling is definitely cool.
Very cool character.
I also feel like
4PF Greedling.
What was I gonna say about Greed? Oh, it's like they ain't really even give him a new Philosopher's Stone. They gave him some used shit. I was like, what? This is nuts.
Yeah, they definitely gave him the used Carsman cell.
Yeah, I was like, listen,
yeah, they have 150,000 miles on it, but
I was like, oh, it's just greed. It's just greed. Come on now. It's just greed. So Ling is new greed, Greedling. And that's what we'll call him. And Father starts recreating Gluttony, and everyone begins to escape because shit is terrible. All the Scar and stuff like that, they seem to escape, and the boys are taken off because they don't want to kill him. So they're like, everyone else escape, we'll stay here because they don't want to kill us. The boys are taken to the room with Wrath, and they send a room with Mustang, and Ed is like, I became a state alchemist.
Do this shit no more.
Right. He's like, I became a state alchemist to learn more about this shit, and I find out you niggas is fake and corrupt and all this other shit. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And Wrath is like, what's your name?
Fight up for that shit. He was hot.
And King Bradley was like, oh, her name was Winry, right? Like Winry Rockbell? Doesn't she live? Where is she at right now? The Rusty? Don't worry about it. We'll find her. We'll Rusty find Taco? Her. Yeah. You don't worry about her. We'll find her and kill her if you leave. He's like, damn, I guess I'm stuck. Wrath stabs Al's armor. Comes out clean, which is good because Mei and Xiao was hiding in his body. They head back to the Nox house. It was the doctor and all this. The very compliant doctor. Very patient, compliant doctor. To check on Lan Fan and her one arm. And her and Mei almost get into it. And I respect Mr. Nox here, because he was like, yo, don't get that shit out of my house. You know what I'm saying? I'm here taking care of you. I got no bed on my own to sleep in. Got this young Asian girl in my bed. Got this another Asian girl on my couch. I can't find nowhere to sleep. I ain't never had women in this house before, ever since my kid and my wife left me. And here you guys trying to start beef in my crib. Not on like, my
protect your
watch.
Peace, King.
Absolutely.
Protect your peace, King.
Listen, come on, man. I'm
the one that pays rent here. Y'all don't pitch in on nothing.
I'm out here doing all types of illegal activities. Y'all not about to fuck me up. Scar runs into Marco. And he's like, oh my God, Scar, it's you. Oh my God, I'm the guy who killed your entire... I'm responsible for killing your entire clan. And Scar doesn't kill him on the spot. Because he's like, listen, let me know what happened. Fill me in. You know what I'm saying? Lend me an ear. I'm here. And that's when we get the last episode of this batch, which is the history episode. I feel like it's a cool down because we just saw a lot of shit. Just got revealed with a lot of shit.
Once again, they just know how to shift gear. So this is what I think, like, once again, what we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Of this is how they stay consistently at that, like, level that they're at,
right,
is that they're able to kind of pump the brakes real quick and, mm-hmm, like, you know, slow it down a little bit, let the suspense build back up. Once again, here's a little bit more information, here's a little bit more reveal, a little bit more backstory, just enough for you to, like, once again, get clear again, okay, cool, let's build some suspense, and then, all right, let's get back into this story and get back into this shit, and then now you're going back, and that's how they're just able to stay at such that consistent level. Where once we were talking about AOT, where AOT was very we're about to ramp you up to the craziest climax, and then we're just gonna drop back down.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then we're gonna start ramping back up to this. You know, they do it differently, but I think for each respective show and what they're trying to do, it works for that. Like, I don't think that same type of game plan would be able to work for Full Metal. I don't think they'll be able to do those peaks like that, like how AOT does. But AOT, I feel, has enough kind of like. They have enough moments where you can do that, but also have, you know, after those moments, there's so much like fucking backstory and history and things you got to learn and connect the dots with, where when you have those in between moments of those climaxes, you're able to just kind of indulge on a lot of fucking information at once.
Absolutely. There's a lot of dialogue. You got to parse through a lot of dialogue with these people. You got to parse through a lot of the backstory and stuff like that. And I think with Full Metal Alchemist, they pretty much give it to you on a single silver platter. Marco tells Scar about the events of the war. He says the war began due to soldier envy killing a child, and the tension due to annexation of Ishval by Amestris was too much to bear, and the war begins. And it's a war that goes on for 7 years. And at the seventh year, King Bradley signs an executive order to call in the state alchemists to the front lines. The alchemists, absolutely, the Saiyans, show up and start wrecking shit, wiping out so many people, killing so many people, ravaging the entire thing by war. And everyone is ravaged by war, including the military themselves, because they were like, yo, alchemy's supposed to help people, not kill people. And they're making fun of it, because, like, what's my man's name, Kimbley, was like, yo, y'all pussies, you know, you signed up to be a soldier, but now you're getting a little depressed because you got to kill a couple people. Like, that's what this alchemist shit is about. And people are like, this guy should not be in the military. Like, that's all I said. I was like,
he's not the right guy.
Yeah. Shit happens to him, but he's a bad guy. The war was truly, though, for the Philosopher's Stone. And many warriors are brought to Laboratory 5, where their souls would be drawn out and condensed into a stone. And the stone was given to, you know, Kimbley, who I think he killed his brother with it. And eventually the war ends. So it's a whole backstory episode. It's a pretty good backstory episode, to be honest with you. And then at the end of the episode, Envy is going to bring food to Marco and comes and sees Marco is dead. And that on the wall, written in blood by none other than Scar himself, is vengeance. And that is how we end things here. Lots of reveals in this part of the show. Lots and lots and lots of reveals. We get to learn a number of things going on, and we're learning a little bit more. There's still questions. Don't get me wrong. There's still questions. Where the hell are these?
It's not. They ain't tell us too much. Well, they tell us just enough.
They told us a lot. But I think this was a great set of episodes. And at the halfway point, I feel like we've learned a lot. There's a lot of action. And I think we've suffered enough losses. We're at the point now where we've suffered the losses. So now we have to go start searching for the wins. And I know this next set of episodes, we actually got a lot of ground to cover for our next episodes. We are covering, let me look at this list. Where is it? For our next batch of episodes, we are covering episodes 31 through 43, I believe. Maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter, but for all I know, it's episode 31 through 43, so it's a little bit longer than what we're used to. But that's where we'll be next episode. I'm trying to figure out, like, listen, we down on the ropes. We down, but we not out. So where does the story go from here? Actually, not fully sure. I forgot everything that happens after this point. But we do. Actually, I could probably do a little synopsis. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the Attack on Titan fandom. Oops.
Look at you. You can't even stop yourself.
I couldn't even stop myself. Let's see. Rush Valley arc. Hunt for the Homunculi arc. Scar's Return arc. Belly of the Beast arc. Scars of Ishval arc. And now we are at the Briggs arc. Actually, that goes through episode 45. So right. 31 through 45.
We're on for the ride. Let's lock in.
Listen, let's lock in. I forget what happens during this Briggs arc, but I'm sure it's a lot of great shit. Actually, I figured what happens. But we're on for the ride. We're almost there, actually. After this episode, if we do cover 31 through 45 after this...
We just gonna run it to the end?
It might be. It looks like the home stretch, even though that home stretch is about 20 episodes. But we'll see. Maybe we'll split it up into one half and the other half. 31 through 45 next week, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, of course. You can subscribe to the Lookout, Lookout RNC Radio, anywhere their podcast. You can follow the Lookout or Lookout RNC anywhere, Twitter, Instagram. That's pretty much it. Any final thoughts before we head out of here this week, LJ?
Just keep staying on this journey of alchemy with us. Also, just let us know what you're watching. What other new stuff? What things y'all trying to hear next?
Ninja Kamui is what I'm keep getting, and I haven't watched it yet. I think I'm gonna watch it after this.
Even after I told you, look at that.
No. Yeah, you told me, but I still ain't find the time to watch.
No, I'm saying though, like.
But I'm getting more of it.
Ninja Kamui is gaining some traction.
I'm getting a lot more of it. Like, hey, have you watched
what's another big anime? I think this year's anime awards
Solo Leveling, are more
competitive
Solo Leveling is another one that I'm hearing. Even though I didn't like the first episode, to be honest with you, but I'm gonna watch it, whatever. But we're almost at the spring season anyway, so that should be My Heroes back,
Chase
Players back. Yeah, a lot of stuff is coming back in the spring, so we'll be done with this by the time spring anime actually begins.
Oh yeah, for sure. April 5th is April 5th, April 5th, April 6th, big day for MHA.
No, it's going to the first couple episodes are going to be recap.
Oh yeah, it's all the recap stuff.
Yeah. So. They're doing that thing. I'm assuming to buy more time because the manga is not done yet. But we're here.
I'm trying to think of even where in the manga would be a good stopping point for them.
Without spoiling. I'm just assuming it's going to get to at least one of these major battles. It might end with
Stabby Stabby? Stabby, stabby, stitchy, stitchy?
No. I think it'll end with the family, the Todoroki family.
Okay, yeah, that's a good spot.
Yeah. So, nice spot. Yeah. Ladies and gents, until next time, we'll be back on the Lookout. Take care. Peace.